Relationship issues?
Relationship talk
on 702.
We're talking about a phenomena called relationship burnout. I want us to try and understand what that is all about and how do you overcome relationship burnout. So my understanding is that, you know, and I know often we think about burnout in the context of work, right? Because I've got work burnout, but it can also apply to relationships. So the understanding, my understanding is that this is a burnout that is quite common, that even healthy couples actually experience. So that state of emotional, mental, and physical exhaustion that is resulting from prolonged stress and strain within a romantic relationship. And it happens when partners feel overwhelmed by the demands of the relationship. They're experiencing chronic conflict, or they're feeling emotionally drained due to unmet needs or expectations. So, you know, every time a relationship starts, there's that excitement, there's beautiful energy between the couples, and that's usually intense, right? But the relationship could begin to experience a downward toll where the partners might be tired of each other and the union just in general. So relationship burnout can really be emotionally draining. So how do you heal that? How do you heal relationship burnout and work on how to resolve conflicts? I want to know if this is something you have felt, what I'm explaining to you. Is it something that you have experienced? Have you noticed that perhaps everything about your partner seems to irk you now? Are you fighting all the time? Do you feel disconnected from your partner? Do you feel overwhelmed by the responsibilities and demands within that relationship? Because sometimes you pick up that the things you used to find cute about your partner are no longer cute. They begin to annoy you now. You realize you don't actually look forward to spending time with your partner anymore. You don't laugh together anymore. It could be anything. What have you picked up in your relationship with your partner that makes you think this could be relationship burnout? 011-883-0702. And how have you dealt with it? If you have navigated it before in your relationship, your marriage, you can send us your WhatsApps as well on 072-702-1702. Tracy Zeman-Jacobs is an intimacy and relationship coach who's going to guide us through this conversation. Good morning, Tracy. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Clement. Thank you for having me again. Lovely to be here.
So in your understanding as an intimacy and relationship coach, how do you describe relationship burnout? What is it all about?
Clement, you did a fantastic job. It's exactly that. Couples are just tired of fighting. They're tired of talking. They're tired of not coming to a solution, not getting closure about one issue. They explained to me that they never tend to finish a conversation. They never seem to come to an agreement about one issue. So there's always something or another that is just left without a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And they come to me, they tell me, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. We've tried everything. When I ask them, what have you tried? They've been to other counselors, marriage counselors. We've been to our church. We've been to our elders. We've been to so many. We've tried everything. We just can't seem to stay on the same page. They're either bickering all the time or they're just not talking to each other. The kids are tired of hearing them fighting. It's just exhausting.
Mm. How do we then differentiate, Tracy, between just the normal relationship challenges and the signs of burnout?
Mm. So every relationship has those ups and downs. Every relationship goes through a kind of rut where we're just not connecting. And the difference between that not connecting and being in relationship burnout is that when we're in a rut, we can get ourselves out of that. You know, being in a rut means possibly work is really stressing us out. And we just have to get over that speed bump, so to speak, that once this project is over, and we're talking to our partner, we're saying, you know, just hang in there. It's going to be over in a few weeks or whatever it is. Just let's get through this together. And even though there's a lot of tension and we still not really talking and, you know, my partner's irritating me or whatever it is, there's still some kind of view for the future. Because we know, you know, what inevitably goes up must come down and vice versa. But burnout is that real feeling like I need to get away. I need to distance myself. Also, there's a depression that can settle in very easily. And then there's just no willingness to try at all to mend the relationship and to move on in any way.
What signs should we look out for? So for someone listening to us and wondering, am I going through, am I experiencing relationship burnout or not? Are there signs you can look out for? I mentioned earlier that, you know, sometimes there are things that in the beginning we always felt, oh, that's so cute, you know, because your partner does that. And then you get to a point where that begins to irritate you now, and then you react unpleasantly when they exhibit those habits. Or, you know, you used to look forward to spending time with your partner, but you don't anymore. Are there some of the signs? Are there signs that we can look out for in order to confirm whether or not what we are experiencing is relationship burnout?
Yeah. Well, it's exactly those kinds of things. It's like, I just don't want to spend time with my partner. That everything they do irritates me. Even being in the same room, the way they make coffee, the way they just get dressed in the morning, the way they sleep is annoying. You know, even just, you know, you're just frequently fighting, that there's no end to this fighting. You definitely don't want to be having any type of sexual intimacy. You avoid spending time together as much as you just completely avoid spending time together. It's like becomes this elephant in the room that you just dance around the elephant all the time, trying not to spend any time together. There's no more fun anymore. These are the signs. There's just no more fun. There's a feeling of just emotional exhaustion. If you have the energy even, you could start to fantasize about leaving the relationship and what it would be like without living with that partner. So these are the signs that I've really had enough.
What are some of the contributing factors to a relationship burnout? What normally happens in a relationship or in a marriage that, you know, the couple starts feeling that way?
So definitely financial stress is one of them. The couple are just not coming to a decision about how their finances are going to be sorted out. And again, every time they try to discuss these issues, it's just not. They're not coming to a conclusion. And I find that finances and sex are one of the most difficult areas of, you know, coming together or agreement in a relationship. Sometimes there are other things at play, absolutely, very often. It's also, you know, when the one is feeling just so overburdened by the responsibilities of, let's say, the house, of that the one is carrying more of a load of responsibilities in the relationship. And the other one is just not kind of getting it, you know, when they're saying, I need you to step up, I need you to help out. And either they're experiencing resistance from the partner, you know, they're constantly being told, I do my best and this is where I'm, you know, defensive behavior. There's no sense of let's do this together. There's no partnership. There's no a splitting of roles, assigning roles that are doable. And that, you know, the one partner is really feeling overwhelmed with all the responsibility. Again, miscommunication, that we don't actually sit down and listen to each other. listen to each other's needs. We're so caught up in our own pain, our own distractions, our own stresses, that we don't have the ability to sit down and really listen to what our partner's saying. It's, you know, in the lack of communication and the lack of ability to listen to each other, we tend to feel that we're not being valued. And it's the same as when one partner's overburdened with responsibilities in the house.
Mm.
It's not fair. And then, you know, that partner's not being seen as a person. They are not being appreciated. And they're physically and emotionally exhausted.
Mm.
Living with a selfish partner who, well, I'm putting maybe my own stuff, selfish partner. Living with a partner who doesn't believe that they need to contribute equally in the relationship, because they are, whatever they are doing is just as important,
yeah,
is really difficult to navigate, to try to get some kind of empathy going there, to help them to understand that we both need to be responsible for what's going on mm-hmm. in the relationship.
Okay. It's 18 minutes after 11 o'clock. What are your experiences with relationship burnout or marriage burnout, whatever you want to call it? 011-883-0702. Have you picked up these signs that Tracy has mentioned, where your partner's habits are beginning to annoy you now, and this never used to be the case? In fact, you're annoyed by their breathing or just them just existing. That just annoys you. You perhaps don't look forward to spending time with your partner anymore. You are experiencing regular conflicts with your partner. You're thinking about maybe even ending that relationship. You're always in a bad mood. Huh? You're not laughing together anymore. Are you feeling emotionally exhausted? Are these the signs that you've picked up in your relationship? And what do you think has caused that? Because there are a number of issues that Tracy has mentioned that can cause that relationship burnout. There are issues also around complacency, where you are just so complacent that the relationship net becomes stale over time, right? You are not getting involved in the thrills and the energy that both of you once experienced when you started the relationship. Maybe you still have unresolved issues. Huh? You're not spending time together. Hmm? That could be one of the causes of that relationship burnout. What is it for you? 011-883-0702. If you've got questions also around how to deal with the burnout that you feel or that you think your partner is feeling, you can send us WhatsApps as well on 072-702-1702. Let's start with Michelle in Pretoria. Good morning.
Hi. So I was in a relationship for 20 years, married for 13 of those. And, I think we started to, you know, also experience this where we went enjoying each other's company, or we are finding ourselves like making time away from each other all the time. And then, you know, we acknowledged that, and we did therapy and we did counseling and we tried all these things. And I think something that needs to be acknowledged is sometimes it's okay to walk away from a relationship and remain friends, and do so before that animosity and before that pain sets in. I'm now best friends with my ex-wife. And we don't feel the need to be caught in this relationship. And if we'd stayed in the relationship any longer, if we'd tried any more therapy, we would hate each other now. We would absolutely have like broken each other in the process. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to acknowledge that in society today, look, it's okay to walk away from a relationship. We don't have to. There shouldn't be like a stigma attached to keeping it forever and ever.
And I suppose what gives you peace, though, Michelle, for you and your partner, is that you walk away after having tried, right? So you've tried to work on it. You've tried the therapy. You've gone there. Because some people, when you say, like, it's okay for you to walk away, they're thinking, oh, at the first fight, or as I'm getting to know someone, something irritates me, I'm done. But are you satisfied that you have done the work in trying to make this work before, as Michelle says, it gets toxic? I thank you for your call in Pretoria. I appreciate your contribution. Jackie in Fourways, good morning.
Hi, Clement. I just wanted to contribute that Sometimes a very significant event can change situations. For instance, when my husband retired, I found that he had expectations that I was going to continue roles that I had been playing while he was working. And my expectation of him was that he was now going to be able to step up and get more involved in family issues and taking on some of the heavy burdensome things that I took on. He had a job that took him out of the country and everything. So I was expecting that he would come and, you know, take on those roles. And he was expecting that he's now going to come and just, you know, relax and just be a retired person having worked so many years. But I found that we started to have certain small resentments creeping in. And then, you know, we would make snide remarks to each other, not talk about the issues. The issues would fester. And really the core of it is that you have to talk about the disappointments, the small disappointments that happen throughout the day. You have to talk about them. Maybe at the end of the day, just talk about them and talk about where you expect somebody to step in and why you expect them to step in, because it really can lead to you know, a lot of friction if you don't do that.
When there are still unresolved issues. Jackie, thank you for sharing that with us. Lebo in Johannesburg, what are your thoughts? Hi, Lebo.
Hi, Clement, how are you?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
I'm fine, thanks. In my case, personally, the main relationship that burnout for me, it's basically cheating, you know, infidelity. That's it. If one partner does that, you know, everything they do, no matter how you try to forgive them or how much they try to, that's it. Everything they do, it just disgusts you. When you see them, you just imagine what happened, how it happened. Are you not good enough? Or, so everything just switches off about you. And it can happen like a year or so long ago. You know, they might try with their actions, but you just cannot forget. There'll be something that will trigger, you know. So sure. For me, I think that's a big deal breaker personally.
Because you know yourself that even when someone says sorry and you say I forgive you, you know that something is completely broken and it's difficult to come back.
Exactly, and it's not once, not twice, but a few times.
No. I mean, that's
so like, everything they do, they say, or the it's just disgust. You see them just take personally,
because I mean, on the second time, on the second or third time, and you say I'm sorry, why must I believe that you're not going to do this again? You've done it more than once. Lebo, thank you for calling about that. Tracy, how big of an issue is the, you know, cheating multiple times? How does that cause that relationship burnout? Because as Lebo says, I mean, it's one thing for someone to, I don't know, make a mistake once and you guys can somehow find yourselves and rebuild the trust. But if it's happening not once, not twice, and someone keeps coming back and saying sorry, you do get that burnout at some point. Because, I mean, do you really believe that they're going to change? They didn't change the first time, the second time. What makes you think they'll do it this time?
Yeah, well, two things are coming up for me. Firstly is that resentment starts to build in any relationship. Let's say not even in this circumstance where there's infidelity, but relationship burnout can also be the result of so much resentment being built up over the years and not having the opportunities to actually talk about them and express themselves. And the other thing that comes to mind is that one of the results of relationship burnout can be infidelity.
Yeah.
So, and the same as working too much. So if there's relationship burnout, one partner might be spending more time at the office or spending more time on the golf course or spending more time at a friend's house, you know, maybe drinking too much, not coming home. So we call those exit strategies, and an affair definitely could be one of those exit strategies. When at home, it's just, there's the atmosphere is just so exhausting and so claustrophobic. I'm not saying that that is a reason to cheat, but it could be one of the reasons why people do cheat in a relationship because of the burnout. And yeah, looking at your partner who has constantly hurt you over and over and over again, of course, that resentment builds up until you can't even look at them anymore.
Yeah. Peter, you calling us from Kempton Park. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sure, sure.
Morning,
go ahead.
Clement. Yes. Clement, I've been married for 2 decades, all right? Now, the problem that I'm having is when it comes to intimacy, there's no longer intimacy and there's nothing. Basically, there's nothing that you can do. So you end up saying, you know what, I don't know what to do in this situation. You end up saying, you know, probably you made a mistake or you don't know what to, what is the way forward. Because, again, you've been hurt time and again, time and again, time and again. Someone is talking not the right way. Always, always accusing you, always accusing you.
Yeah.
Something like that.
What, yes. What is the situation for you, though, Peter, if you don't mind sharing? So you're saying over 20 years... You feel relationship burnout. You've been married for over 20 years. Is it was? Yes. Is there something that's been done on your part or your wife's part?
No, it used to be fun. It used to be fun. All these years, it used to be fun.
But what happened
after 17 years, and then things started. I don't know what to do, what to say, basically everything.
But what happened? Was there cheating involved? Was there betrayal of sorts?
No, there's no cheating. It's the accusation. It's the accusation. It's the accusation of your mom. Your mom.
Family politics.
Start to form family politics, Start with the family politics a lot. So you end up, someone is accusing you of the witchcraft, and every time and again, it's, your mother is bewitching me. It's bewitched, and my children won't succeed. And so on and so on. So, you know.
And you still want to be in this relationship, in this marriage, Peter? You want to restore it?
Yeah, I want to restore it.
Okay, we'll ask Tracy on what you... Have you guys tried therapy? Have you tried to have a mediator between the two of you?
No, I haven't. No, I'm a humble person, so I know how to treat myself. I know how to sustain it.
And how long have you guys not been intimate now?
Probably it's over 6 months.
Yeah. Okay, Peter. I'm sorry to hear that, man. And I wish you all the best. I hope you and your wife can find a way to restore that relationship and work on those issues. I'll get Tracy Zeman Jacobs, who's our guest this morning. She's an intimacy and relationship coach. I'll get her to give you some tips after the latest in Eyewitness News headlines. It's 11:30.
Relationship issues.
Relationship talk.
On 702.
Relationship burnout is what we're discussing this morning on our relationship feature. It's 25 minutes before 12 o'clock. Tracy, if you can please respond to Peter, who called us from Kempton Park. He's been married for over 20 years. And he feels that there are certain things that have been happening that have caused a relationship burnout for him. And he's asking, how do we restore? He says the wife is always accusing him, as accusing his family of bewitching her. So there are always accusations of witchcraft. And he says as a result, they have not been intimate for over 6 months now. And he still wants to be involved and is committed to this marriage, but he's a bit worried about where things are. Any advice for Peter?
Well, there's definitely a lot of unresolved issues from way back when. And as you said, 17 years together, and there's been interference from the family and accusations, false accusations. And, you know, dealing with family is a very, very sore point in relationships. Very sore because, you know, you both want to protect your family, who you love very much, and you want to protect your partner, who you love very much. And so much bitterness and anger and frustration gets pushed and suppressed over the years under the carpet that eventually you don't know how to resolve the conflict. So definitely you did suggest therapy or something like that, and you said they haven't tried that. So I would suggest either going to their counselor, you know, elders or their church or a therapist, where things can have a space to be opened up and to be spoken about, and then to be taken apart bit by bit, and both of them have the ability to talk about how they feel about all this conflict and all these assumptions that were made and all these baseless accusations, and then to deal with all the hurt and pain that's happened in the last 17 years, because of course they won't want to be sexually intimate if they're holding on to all this pain for all these years.
Mm, yeah. Sean, you're calling from Johannesburg. Good morning.
Yeah, thanks, Clement, and hello to all your listeners. So I got a bit of advice to all those guys out there that are having the problem. I think it's Peter that called in before.
Yeah.
What I discovered through my own anecdotal experience is that at one certain stage in my life, I started believing in the, are we going to be happy forever after? I mean, 12 years in married to the most amazing woman, you know, even today, I still think the same of her. I love her dearly, my wife. I have a little 10-year-old girl, and everything was perfect until I went onto her phone and I found her chatting to other guys and stuff like that. Mm. It was around 2021. The coincidence, and I prescribe it to a more divine kind of influence. Something made me about 5 to 6, almost 8 years ago, to start taking my health more seriously, start working out in gym, lifting heavy stuff. As a man, you need to be big and strong. And to start training Brazilian jiu-jitsu as well as other mixed martial arts, so you can like literally protect your family, never mind yourself. So about 3 years into that journey, I discovered this information about my wife, and I was on the up at that stage. Mm-hmm. Because of the training and the physical improvement on myself, I was able to respond more on a financial basis. So my work improved. I started making a lot more money, and so everything started falling into place, but it had to start with the physical aspect of it. So everything fell into place. I had more money, everything like that. So this had a knock-on effect for my wife. Her way of looking at me before I started this effort and started improving myself was a very typical feminine way of judging, and I call it judging. It's called hypergamy. The way that a woman looks at a man who she's now vested her mm-hmm. good years with, if that man doesn't reach his potential, or, you know, get to a point where he's the sole provider or something along those lines, women will invent reasons to leave you because they see that they can get with better men, especially with social media, all of those kind of things. So in saying all of this, Clement, obviously my ego came into it when I saw this conversation between these guys. But where I was at that stage in my life, it was easier for me to forgive my wife. At that time, I was a Christian, to forgive her. And to understand that all she was doing is acting out on biology. She had this guy in front of her who was overweight, who wasn't earning enough money, and the family, there was a risk to her as the mother of the baby. So since then, she's because of my financial status, she's able to stay at home, look after the kid. She does homeschooling. You know, everything is taken care of for her. And at the bottom line is, And I don't mean to sound like egotistical, but you know, you got to be when you're doing as well as I'm doing at the moment. But she can't do better than me. That's the secret, gentlemen. Your wife, you should get to a point where you're physically strong, financially stable, where she couldn't do better than you. Then all the problems go away. You have my word on that.
Okay, Sean in Johannesburg, thank you so much for calling. Tracy, interesting perspective there. From Sean, I'm not entirely convinced by every aspect that, because I do think sometimes we put so much pressure on men that some of them end up even committing suicide. Some of them end up thinking they're not even worthy of relationships because there's an expectation that as men, we've got to always do better than women. We've got to always make more money. We've got to always be more physically attractive, or whatever the case or metric you want to use. But what is wrong with having a partner that is equally as successful as you, who says there's no love that's going to exist there? But that's my view. What do you think of what Sean is raising there?
Well, I'm really happy for Sean that all his effort he made with himself have actually turned out for the best and have had a very positive influence on his relationship. And this might be very true for other men, that they've got to buck up, they've got to show up, they've got to step up. And that's what I said in the, you know, earlier on in the interview, is that if the wife is feeling so overburdened by all her responsibilities, and that she come, you know, the husband comes home every night and she's busy with the kids and the cleaning and the cooking and the homework, and he just arrives and flops down on the couch in front of the TV, and he doesn't realize that he's actually being selfish by not helping, she's going to start to feel fed up with him. And if they're not talking about this, or maybe she is, maybe she, you know, please will you help me? This is no good for me. And when you come home, you can't collapse. I need you to help me. And he's not hearing that. She is going to get really, really upset with him, irritated and resentful of him, that she might start looking elsewhere. And that's an exit strategy, as I said, to get out of the relationship. So Sean had the insight or the wherewithal to actually say, hang on a second, if I want to keep this beautiful woman, I need to step up, I need to show up, and I need to do something differently. And that worked very well for Sean. Doesn't mean that it's a foolproof solution for every relationship. And the other thing is that, you know, as you were saying, Clement, it's not really about, it can be about financial statement status. Sure, it does put pressure on other people to have to step up and to, you know, you talked about suicide rates and things like that. But I think that in this instant, it worked for Sean. What do you do when, you know, you have a guy who really is not getting the message? That's really, financial status, sure, it makes a difference, and it made a difference in his relationship. What if the couple are financially secure? What if still the wife doesn't have to work because her husband is successful and there's relationship burnout? So there might be another element that's missing, an emotional connection, emotional intimacy. Maybe they cannot talk to each other about emotions. And, you know, if I want to go and talk to my husband, and every time I want to reveal something personal about myself, I'm met with a stonewaller. And stonewalling is really about talk to the hand, or I turn around, I walk away, or a response is, you know, I really don't know how to help you with this, or it's your issue, or I've told you before what to do. Then the, you know, your partner's not feeling emotionally held, supported, and that kind of thing. So there are many instances where there's relationship dissatisfaction that can cause supported and that kind of thing. So there are many instances where there's relationship dissatisfaction.
They praised him for how nice he looks. And if you look at us right now and you can see the one who was carrying everything, but I tell you, for a year after the end of our marriage, I was so tired. I think about him, I could not even rise up because I was just so tired. Sure. And I realized that that relationship, indeed, it was carried by love, because if it was not carried by any other thing, I would have just collapsed.
Yeah, I wouldn't have lasted even that long. Mampu, thanks for calling us. And I think what I like about that is that you've done something. You've really tried to carry. When you have tried your best, when you've tried your best to make something work, and you are satisfied yourself that you've tried your best, don't stress yourself with trying to stay on something that doesn't work for you. What shouldn't be is you just walking away, you know, when you have not tried to work things out. But if you've tried, if you've been into therapy, if you stay on something that doesn't work for you, what shouldn't be is you just walking away, you know, when you have not tried to work things out. But if you've tried, if you've been into therapy, if you...
Relationship Talk
on 702.
9 minutes before 12 o'clock. Let's go to Lerato in Pretoria. Lerato, hi.
Hi, Clement, how are you?
I'm all right. What's your question?
I'm good, thanks. I wanted to find out,
you are the party that keeps showing up, and you just feel that your other partner maybe has got burnout. How do you then approach the situation without sounding accusatory?
Mm.
How do you approach what you are maybe recognizing or seeing? And because of course it can bring up certain insecurities to yourself, where you start thinking you're a problem, whatever. And yes, some people do have their own distractions, work pressures, everything. But how do you approach the situation? And is there a way of, because now I've heard all of these people calling and how they've ended, they all do have their own distractions, work pressures, everything. But how do you approach the situation? And is there a way of, because now I've heard all of these people calling and how they've ended, they walk
burnt out, or you can see that your partner is the one that's burnt out. And is there a way that, just to add on to Lerato's question, that couples can maybe somehow help each other? Like in when they're experiencing burnout, when I see that my partner may be experiencing burnout, there's ways that I support. And, you know, when I'm the one experiencing burnout, there's a way that I'm also supported.
Yeah, so I'm so excited that Lerato has brought this up, because, you know, we can save relationships. That's not all about gloom and doom. It's about the willingness to do something to change the situation. And Lerato, sounds to me like you really want to connect with your partner. And so my suggestion always is have a conversation, but at the right time in the day, the right time where your partner is receptive to a conversation. And the first thing I would do is I would show some gentleness and kindness, and I would hold your partner's hand and say, whatever term you refer to them as, darling, sweetheart, hold their hands and look into their eyes and say, I'm really concerned that something's going on for you. And can we have a moment just to talk? What is going on for you? Tell me. Allow the conversation to flow where your partner has has a feeling that they can trust you and that the space is safe to have this conversation. And when your partner is telling you how they're feeling, the best thing to do is to listen and not to try and problem solve and not to become defensive, but just to listen and hear them and to say, I hear you. Okay, so you feel I'm doing too much of this, or I'm not doing enough of that. I hear you. Tell me more. Let's think of what else, you know. And okay, so we can work on that and we can work on that. How about we go for therapy together?
Mm.
How about we look into, maybe we can go away together for a while, a change of scenery, but still let's just relax into another.
Let's start doing things together. Let's go to gym together. Let's play some games some more.
It's more about let's connect. Let's not impose all our negativity onto each other. Let's be more receptive. Let's be able to tell each other what we need and be open to receiving that information, instead of becoming so defensive and critical.
Okay.
So,
And how does individual self-care contribute to the health of a relationship and help prevent that burnout? Because sometimes people forget themselves. Right? Once they're in relationships, they think they forget about themselves as individuals and caring for themselves as individuals.
So that's why I loved Sean's example. Is not only did he show up for the relationship, but he showed up himself. And he said, you know, so if, let's say, Sean's partner still decided to act out and have an affair, whatever it is, Sean hopefully will have developed a good sense of self that he is worthy of another amazing relationship because he has worked, come to the decision that he is actually amazing. He looks good. He can make money. He's a nice guy. People like to spend time with him.
Yeah.
And it's very important that as individuals in this relationship, and I've said this many times on our show, Clement, it's very important that as individuals in this relationship that we continue to work on ourselves and become independent human beings, that we're not completely dependent on our partner to make us feel good about ourselves, to make us feel that we have a life. We must have a life which is a full, whole life, independent of our partner, that when we do come together, it's the cherry on the top, but that we actually can feel like we have a full, happy life on our own.
Tracy, thank you. Thank you so much for
always
guiding us through these important conversations. The number of voice notes and messages was received, just so much. And maybe we should consider one time extending this kind of conversation or doing it in a different way so we can give the listeners more opportunities to call in with their questions and inputs. Tracy Zeman-Jacobs is an intimacy and relationship coach.